welcome to Murph's Tavern. I'm Massive Simpsons Dog Murphy McLaughlin. Every episode of this podcast, we talk about a different episode of The Simpsons, specifically one from the first 9 seasons with a couple of fellow fans. This week, we're talking season 7's Bart on the Road. This is where Bart gets his hand on a fake ID, rents a car, goes to Knoxville, Tennessee with Martin, Milhouse and Nelson. There's also a sweet subplot with Lisa going to the power plant with Homer. To talk about that episode with me, we have return guests, Mitch McTaggart.
Hello, everybody.
And Roland Hoffman.
Hi.
What are your, like, memories of Bart on the Road before you rewatched it for this pod? Or when you thought of this episode, someone went, Bart on the Road. What would you think?
I remember that really cool shot of the camera going around the car.
Yeah.
To,
been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
I've already forgot the song. I just watched it.
Radar Love?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. God. Golden Earring.
Yes.
Yeah. that was the thing, because I really liked the animation style technique. Yeah. Was also, we're getting into it already. Was that a reference to something? Is that like the as in the camera move and stuff?
I don't believe so.
Okay, because it was cool.
It's like, really cool. And the fact it was done before computers and shit.
Mm. Yeah.
Roland?
Because that's such a cool shot. I feel like this is lame. I just picture them like in the gutter wearing wigs.
Yeah.
That's all I could do. When you said that, I was like, oh yeah, that one. And that's like the first shot that came to my mind.
Yeah.
I could not tell you why, but that's just what it was.
It's such a funny visual and such a good cutaway gag too. Because like, you're going to buy some wigs or ain't you? Yeah. Then immediately they're all wearing
and he's
the
so
wigs.
Angry about it as well. He's like, you guys going to buy some wigs or ain't you? He's like really got some menace on his face when he says that line.
Yeah. You know, there's like the whole Knoxville world fair thing was a real thing in 1982 or whenever it was. Also, when he says, you're 15 years too late, I was like, oh wow. Oh man. Apparently like the Knoxville like heard about this episode and like invited the Simpsons writers to like come talk at some I don't know, maybe it was like 20 year anniversary of the World Fair or something. And then I think And the writer's like, oh, okay. And then the invite got cancelled because I think they actually watched the episode.
Oh, all right.
It's surely not that like savage specifically toward the World Fair. Like it was just the fact that it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that tower is still there. So if you go to Knoxville, even though the World Fair's not a thing anymore, they still have the big...
Right. Was that the insult that they
maybe they were like this fucking kid threw a rock at it and it fell down and
if it's still there, how many times a day do you think they hear that? You're like, it's full of wigs. Yeah,
it must happen frequently. Like I wanted to see like what it looked like, so I like googled on YouTube. I looked up on YouTube like a tour of it, and the first thing was people going, oh, tour of the wig sphere. And they're going, hey, we're at the place from The Simpsons. And yeah, so the people there must be like so sick of it.
Yeah.
But they actually, you know how Milhouse is like, the Hungarians built a giant Rubik's Cube. That's legit. Like they actually did make a big Rubik's Cube for the World's Fair.
Yeah.
And it's there still. They still have it.
So. Wasn't that how we got the exhibition building in Melbourne? The World's Fair in like 1901 or something?
Really?
I'm pretty sure. Was that a World's Fair?
Well, this is a fun fact. No, I'm into it. I accept it. It sounds correct.
I'm pretty sure the World's Fair was here in some time.
World's Fair, Melbourne? 1901, you reckon? Well, around Melbourne's 1880 International Exhibition was the first officially recognized World's Fair in the Southern Hemisphere. Roland Hoffman. Wowie.
Coming up with the goods. I thought it was actually common knowledge. I'm not even from Melbourne originally.
That switched on. So, well done.
I just forgot.
I'm pretty sure the exhibition building was... Because like every place that has a World's Fair, I think it would... I'm pretty sure the Eiffel Tower was...
How
Paris got there.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure. I couldn't tell you. But they put it up for the World's Fair and then they were like, it looks all right. Let's keep it up.
Yeah,
And I think we did the same thing with the Royal Exhibition Building.
Yeah,
for the World's Fair. I thought every World's Fair had like a thing that they built for it.
Yeah.
I need to read up on my World Fairs.
Do they still do the World's Fair?
Let me look up last World Fair. I have a feeling.
Is it like a thing where the world doesn't really need it now, like Pizza Hut dine-in thing?
Yeah, because it was like a thing to like people gathered and shared inventions and stuff from around the world, and you can do that in seconds. So
yeah,
suppose it's not a thing.
Oh, here we go. Why Seattle's Century 21 was one of the US's last World's Fairs. And that was in 1962. Well, that doesn't make sense because the Knoxville was 82.
What are you looking at there, buddy? What's
I'm on this site called Grunchkin. It's where you get all the good news on Grunchkin.
Carter 95. No, that doesn't make sense because that's after the both World Fairs.
You're fucked up. But anyway, a place where you can, show off the inventions of tomorrow sort of thing. I watched this cool cartoon recently from like the 30s, which was made as a promotional thing for the World's Fair. I actually remember this cartoon from like a VHS growing up. Wow. And it's these two, this elderly couple on a horse, and they go, "Oh, look here, Elmer, it's the World's Fair." And they go in and there's all these crazy, like Rube Goldberg-esque like things, and it's really cool. And
Is it like a widely available thing, or is it the kind of thing that people just think you dreamed? It's like,
well, it must be one of those public domain cartoons because it was on like a compilation VHS,
right?
When I was growing up, and it's on YouTube, and it was also on a VHS with some really racist Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Of course, it was. It almost the really bad ones are always public domain, aren't they? Like I saw one that was what's the cat one.
Felix.
Was it Felix?
Felix
Sylvester? It was like one of the ones that's so old where they don't have, that they look different. Like they still hadn't figured out proper design. And I think maybe Felix the cat goes underwater for some reason, and then there's a criminal trial because he does something illegal. And then all of the characters are based on race.
Oh, right.
And just like, I mean, I didn't think any of it as a kid, but I just thought it sucked because it was like, it's old sounding and old looking and it's boring, but
you love the racism, though.
That's a 10 out of 10. That's a solid solid work, but not great.
I've mentioned on the pod a few times, and you'll know if you follow me on Letterboxd, I've been really getting into like 1930s cartoons like Popeye and stuff lately.
Great.
And some, they really hold up and they're really funny, but every now and then they're just like I'll just ignore that joke sort of thing. Like there are the ones that are just full on racist though. I just skip them.
You got a secret Letterboxd account.
It's like one of his categories is racist cartoons that I actually don't mind.
And then they had some really good ideas in these ones.
But I got the book here, so how about I bring it out? So we play a game. You two are regulars. You know how this works.
Sure.
Got to guess which character they've highlighted for Bard on the Road. Now, Mitch, you've been, I feel like, handballed someone's lately, because I think the last few you were on were the Frank Grimes episode and the Hurricane Nettie episode. So it was Frank Grimes and Dr. Foster. So you've had it pretty easy lately, okay? You've had it too good for too long. Who do you think they've chosen for Bard on the Road?
I keep forgetting this. We play this game every single time, and I should be thinking about it ahead of time. But now,
you should just buy the book, and then you'll know.
I should. I literally watched this just yesterday, and I can't, because every single time I watch, sometimes we watch them together. Sometimes I watch them by myself before we come in. Whenever I watch them by myself, I end up watching I watch that one and then the two or three after it,
because
just let it play through.
I've got a selection. If you're
Go nuts.
If you're deliberately padding,
shut up.
The Hitchhiker.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Here's the thing about that Hitchhiker, right? So, I always, as a kid, thought he looked really similar to. Have you guys watched Tiny Toons? I know Roland, I think last time you were on, we had a big lengthy discussion about Animaniacs. So it'd be weird if you were really into Animaniacs.
Yeah, but like Tiny Toons, I'm like, fuck off with Tiny Toons.
Yeah.
Animaniacs only.
But there's, speaking of VHS, there was a video me and my sister used to always rent called Tiny Toons Summer Vacation. And I rewatched some of it on YouTube today. And it's really, there's references to Deliverance. And like the banjo dueling scene,
not the other bit.
I don't know how they could just do a reference to it.
And there's also, they pick up a hitchhiker, and it's real scary. And he's gets a chainsaw and it's like, yeah, full on. But I always as a kid went, that hitchhiker in the car that they pick up looks like the hitchhiker they pick up in Tiny Toons. I wonder if that's like a reference to Tiny Toons. And even today, I was like, yeah, well, that Tiny Toons movie is 92. This is 95, 96, so maybe. And then I realized, oh, the hitchhiker in Tiny Toons is based on the hitchhiker from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So I right. think that's also what they're doing in yeah. this episode, loosely basing him on that.
Okay, right. great.
I also never understood.
So is Roland he in the book or not?
Well,
I was just giving Roland plenty of time.
Yeah. No, I came in with a guess, but I was trying to think. I was trying to rotate through other characters to see if like maybe there was a better one. My first upgrade, because like Hitchhiker is a good shout. I don't think he has quite enough screen time to warrant a whole mm-hmm. sliver of work. I'm going to say Nelson.
Okay. He's got a few good moments in this. Yeah. Like both acts end with him saying...
Yes, I don't think I noticed that the first time I watched it actually, because yeah. the on Channel 10 it would always cut out.
Yeah, true, right true, true.
They, yeah,
fucking Channel 10. But Nelson, yeah, no, he's got some good moments. I like it as well when he's like, "I'm going away for 2 weeks. See ya." But it's not Nelson. And it is also not the hitchhiker.
Get fucked.
It is the character that
it's that Coke bottle man.
It's not Coke the bottle man.
Wig salesman.
It's not wig salesman.
Roland, is it like a incidental character? Like
it's a regular. It's a. It's not a one-off character.
Oh, okay.
So you want to have
Principal Skinner?
Not Principal Skinner.
Martin.
Not Martin.
Everyone I could think of has like a better episode that they yeah, would be better yeah. suited for them yeah, to be totally. In a book. So I can't think of who it could possibly
also,
be.
The fact that this book is considered, you know, some kind of holy Bible is also insane. So like, yeah. I'm not like going for logic here. I don't know, Homer.
Ding, ding, ding. No, it is Cletus.
Oh, what?
Who also idiotic. Like you were like it wouldn't be the hitchhiker because he only has one line. Cletus only has one line as
well. I was
well.
Just thinking, I was like, was he even in that episode?
One line and he does.
Yeah, goes, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he goes, hot damn, no more sitting in the dirt and driving. Good line. Yeah. So you know, but we have the stuff you may have missed, which never lets us down. Great. Right, the stuff you may have missed. Okay, we've got Bart's driver's license lists his birthday as February 11th, 1970, which would make him 26 in this episode, and identifies him as being 4 feet tall. I didn't recognize the little quotes.
Oh, the commas.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
4 feet tall, 85 pounds with BL eyes. And then in brackets it says, probably blue.
Oh, wow. We're really going into detail yeah. On this one.
Some of the shows playing in Branson. Waylon Jennings and Madam. Phantom of the Opry. Up with White People. And I looked into this. Up with People was apparently like a group of black performers. So okay. this oh, right. place in Branson has Up with White People. Fent Dixon and the Second Helping Band. Alabamania. Show. And Lurline Lumpkin and Pip Diddler.
Oh, there you
go. So I like that little yeah. little callback.
When was Lumpkin last in the show relative to
the Lumpkin? About 3 or 4 years earlier. Mm-hmm. So the Lumpkin episode was season 3. Then she also made an appearance in, Roland, do you remember?
I can't remember the episode, but I remember she was on like a red carpet. She was like, yeah. I spent last night in a ditch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was that before or after this episode?
Before this episode.
Oh, right.
So it's kind of nice.
So
that
she's on the way back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I always found that funny.
Yeah.
That like, but I also kind of felt bad for her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of female characters to feel bad for, in this episode, I felt bad for Marge.
Yeah.
Oh, so much.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if it's like just me looking through the show now as more of an adult.
Yeah, yeah.
But like Marge always does get the rough end
yeah.
of the stick and stuff. And like it's almost one of those scenes that I can't stand to watch when she forcibly wakes up.
Yeah.
It's really rough.
Yeah. And the line reads by Kavanagh like on the phone, especially the second one where she's like Bart goes like, "Oh, want to speak to Lisa?"
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, brutal.
But hey, she has a happy ending. Yeah. Like when they're frowning and really angry at part of the table and she's happy. And then, oh, so good. I like episodes where it kind of, the episode goes into the credits.
Yes.
Like
I think that's one of my favorite episode endings of The Simpsons. It's just delightful.
Yeah.
Homer, are you laughing at me?
But yeah, the subplot with Homer and Lisa, I think, is so nice. This episode, like, it's just a really good characterization of Homer, and how the Langdon Olga stuff is really good. Yeah. Bit of backstory about Langdon Olga.
Go on.
They got the name because the writer Rich Appel went to school with a guy called Langdon Olga, and he just went, "Oh, it's a good name. We'll use that."
Okay.
And then I saw an interview with him where he said, like, the next day, Simpsons Studios got like a call. And it was this guy going, "Yes, hello, my name is Langdon Olga, and I believe I was on The Simpsons last night. My coworker told me I was on The Simpsons." So I love that time, like, where it's like pre-internet.
Yeah, like, yeah, that guy has to hear it from someone at work.
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
has to call the studio directly. Yeah.
To find out what's going on. Yeah, love that shit. Right.
Was he upset about it?
I think he got over it. Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
but initially he was like, "What gives? What's going on?"
Yeah, he was confused. And like, I guess it would be a bit annoying because it is such a specific name, Langdon Olga. Like, how many of them are you going to bump into? So since that episode aired, he's probably like, "Oh, it's got to be like once or twice a week, right? At least.
Yeah, totally.
If he's giving like... someone
probably as often as the guys in Knoxville hear about the wig.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to ever ask me, like, not just from having watched this episode fresh, but like, you know, who's Lisa got a crush on? Immediately,
it's one of those things.
Yeah, he'd be seeing his name in like memes and stuff, and like,
Well, like, super fans wouldn't take him seriously. Like, they think that he like it's such like a bullshit alias.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah, definitely. But I think there's a few names like that he used on the show. Like, I think Nahasapima Petalan, Apu's surname, is based on an Indian student that one of the writers went to school with, whose name I think was Massapima Petalan. And they just changed
that. What a workaround.
I guess that one's not as, like, this one they full on just took the dude's name. But yeah, I think, like, I've heard quite a bit of that, like, with writers where they just need a name and they don't really think ahead. There's like, "Oh, whatever, like, let's just use this name, it's someone, it's an acquaintance or whatever," and they don't think, "Oh, hang on, this is gonna be on TV and this could really take off, and like, word's gonna get out that I use this person's name, they're gonna have to live with having a name that's on this thing."
Yes, yeah, exactly. And speaking of names, the one of my favorite jokes in the episode is when Bart gets Martin's name wrong.
That's
because,
so good.
Because I think it goes a long way in justifying why all four of them are in a car. Like, I know that they're using Martin's money, but I guess that it just goes to show that they're not really regular to hang out with each other. I think it adds context. It makes it make more sense, because otherwise you just kind of think, why are these four people suddenly on a road trip? Like, it's...
Yeah, it makes sense otherwise. Yeah. Like, the only other time you really see that kind of group is the Shelbyville episode.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like there's a clear reason there, but
because even having Nelson with Bart and Milhouse at the start is like, okay, he's there, I guess.
Yeah, it's not really explained. It's very inconsistent, Nelson's role within the group, because sometimes he's full on like they're scared of him and like he beats them up, like he physically like hurts them. And then other times he's just chilling with them. Sometimes he's like watching TV with them or whatever. But I kind of, you know, there is sort of relationships like that at primary school where you can go from having like an enemy to a best friend. And like, it's very like fair weather sort of thing.
You'd beat me up.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'd beat you up. And then, you know, we'd be friends again for a little bit. And
yeah. We didn't go to school together, by the way. But yeah, do you know much about, because this episode's premise is it takes place over spring break, right? Do you really know much about spring break, like what it is? Because we are Australians.
Just holidays, right?
Yeah, just the school holidays that fall in spring. Like our That's just a guess. I don't actually know. I think it's just like our equivalent would be like the school holidays that fall in September over here.
Yeah, well, so I've always found it interesting, like the holidays on when watching American shows and movies, because like they go summer holidays, we're off school for 3 months, and I'm like, what the fuck, like 3 months? But yeah, so like in, I looked it up. So in America, their school year starts around September, right? And their summer holidays are around like June, July, August.
Exhausting. There's already a perfectly good start of the year in January.
It's really annoying.
What?
Yeah. I think this also differs state by state. So there's no like clear thing. Like if you look it up, it's very like this state does this, this state this. But generally speaking, they have like the 3 months around summer. Then apart from that, it's only like splashings of like 1 week breaks. So spring break is actually just 1 week. Right. And it's usually around Easter. But apparently in America, they avoid calling holidays like Easter break or Christmas break because they're like separating church from state. So like at the end
That's
of the year, they always say like end of year break rather than Christmas break.
Wow, bloody woke mob getting onto that. Jesus.
Yeah. But yeah, I found that I didn't ever really put two and two together that like Easter takes place around spring break. So it's kind of like,
And it's always been called that.
Spring break. I don't think so. I think that's more maybe like a mid-20th century thing they started using.
I just mean
term.
More like it. They really kind of snuck it in pre-culture wars kind of.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
is surprising.
Yeah. And what else? Oh, and then they have about a week or even in some states a few days for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the week, only about a week or so for Christmas.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes more sense why they have the three. It's like they all just lump all the holidays in the 3 months. But I think Australia does it better.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I guess that kind of, those kinds of things don't get in the way of the story or anything like that. Like any kind of dumber executive would have to go, you know, for an international audience, we should clarify what all of these things are, because I know that's what happens with Australian content that is exported. It just gets dumbed down. And that sucks. So I'm glad they don't do it with this.
Yeah. I feel like they're just like, well, America, if they don't understand it, fuck them.
Yeah.
They also have go to work with your parents' day, which Skinner just makes up, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Which I also like, there's like a good kind of, I don't know if coming full circle is the right word, but the very first scene is Skinner organizing that so he can go to, where does he go again?
Hong Kong.
And then very near the very end, he sees Bart delivering the eyes. But so I thought that was cool.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, they're just doing it for convenience, but it is weird that he's just made it to the airport. Like,
well, I thought of that, but I thought, oh, he's on his way back.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because it is near.
Yeah, that was my assumption,
Yeah. He's about to fly back. So there, Mitch.
Okay, all right. Point taken.
But
although it would be funnier if he actually just like had to make it, like it was just kept getting like diverted to places.
Yeah.
So he spent like 2 hours in Hong Kong airport.
That should be a separate episode, is Skinner's adventures in Hong Kong. There you go, writers, if you're listening.
Great.
But yeah, bring your daughter to work day is an actual thing in America. I think I know from Arrested Development, the episode where maybe goes to work with them, and then everyone is like he keeps running into like cops who have their kids and stuff. And yeah, apparently that's a thing in America.
Yeah, I think I've heard of it before in other shows as well.
Yeah.
It's like a take your child to work day kind of thing. Probably an excuse to have, because I've never heard of them having pupil free days over there like we call them here. So I assume it's just one of those.
Yeah.
It's like deal with your own kids day, basically.
Yeah. Did you do work experience though at high school, Roland?
I did work experience, yes, in year 10 at the local radio station, which was a community radio station. I could have just walked in anyway. They would have been fine. But yeah, I did like an official week there.
That's how you became the biggest shock jockey in Australia.
I actually, during that I think it was the second week I was at the radio station, there was a guy who was, because it was just, you kind of go like, hey, I want to do like an hour, and they give you a spot and you do your hour. There was a guy who was kind of like that. And I had to, like, I was just like filing CDs and stuff and like cataloging shit, and was like, he's in the next room, and like it's coming through in the main bit. And I'm just listening. It was around the time Van Nguyen, the guy who was being executed for trafficking, and like he had some cooked opinions about that. And I was just like, oh man,
you like can't
because
wait
it's community radio. It was like, these are just people in the town.
Yeah. And Mitch, you went to your mum's.
Yeah, I went to my mum's. What?
experience.
I did a stint in some corporate video production place that I I just to this day don't understand what they would be using it for, because I don't know. I was left more confused and whatnot.
Yeah, I just realized I've misremembered work experience as that it had to be a parent or guardian, because I didn't like, because I didn't do work experience until like the last day of work experience, and they were like, oh, you're meant to like, everyone write a report on how your work experience was. And I was like, oh, I didn't do it.
Are you just getting confused from when you're just at home with your parents?
No, and then so I told my mum, I was like, hey, I was meant to do work experience.
So what did had you done the entire, like, you thought it was a holiday?
No, because I think people did it at different times throughout the terms. There wasn't like a designated 2 weeks where everyone was off school.
You've been going to school the entire week before realizing that you needed to be doing something else entirely. Right.
And yeah, and so my mum was like, oh, okay, well, you can come to my work at the library. So I went with her and helped shelve books.
For one day.
Yeah. Okay. And then I wrote my report on it, and I think I just lied and said I'd been doing it for 2 weeks. And but yeah, because I did that, I think in my head I thought everyone went to their parents' work.
Okay, great. So you've admitted to fraud.
I hope Mr. McKenzie isn't listening.
He will. You're fucked, mate.
High school diploma revoked. Oh, so there's a few bits from this episode that I didn't get as a kid. When they go to Naked Lunch.
Yeah,
the movie Naked Lunch.
Yeah.
I could think of at least two things wrong with that title. So can you, one of you, I mean, I get it now, but can one of you explain that gag?
I kind of don't really get it having seen Naked Lunch. I just took the line to mean, you know, it's just a not clear title as to what the content of it actually is. Like,
because there's no nudity and there's no lunch.
But there is kind of nudity in it.
Oh, okay, right.
Like, and I guess at some point the characters might eat. But I just assume that, yeah, he was just expecting something completely different.
He was expecting two naked people eating lunch, which...
Oh, yeah, that's probably fair. Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, because the movie itself is like real. Like, it's based on like beat literature, right? And it's like really surreal and doesn't make any sense.
There's a scene where like a cockroach man fucks another man.
Wow. Pretty full on that these 10-year-olds saw that film then.
Yeah.
They really shouldn't have.
And lots of buttholes. Not like actual buttholes, like cockroach buttholes and stuff.
Oh.
Like a typewriter turns into a butthole.
Yeah,
He puts drugs on the butthole.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was reading a Reddit summary of the film, and someone said there's a typewriter who's an asshole, and someone wrote, "Ha, that sounds funny. A typewriter that's a jerk." You're like, "No, an actual asshole."
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Okay. So that's that joke.
One thing that I didn't understand when I rewatched it for this was what the hitchhiker says when he gets ice cream. Like, there's something... He makes some kind of compromise to nobody. Like, says it, but I don't know
what he says. He says, I didn't think I was rehabilitated, but I guess they needed the extra bed. So he's...
As in why he's out of rehab.
Yeah. So like he's been... He was in like a rehab center or like some sort of incarceration. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they just kicked him out. Because they needed more space.
That adds a lot of story to him.
Yeah, so like, basically implying that he's not mentally well and he's in the car with them.
Sure. Okay, right. I guess because it just had, when I watched it as a kid, that sentence had too many words I didn't understand. So I just forever disregarded
it. Totally. As a kid, I remember never understanding what he was saying.
Sure.
I think I have this memory of like asking my dad. He was like, he said he's not rehabilitated. I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, my dad got it.
And what do all the other characters say? I didn't really follow much of that.
How about I open the book?
Read the whole episode back to me.
Oh, my tickets Hong Kong.
You can't ask him that. You know he's going to do it.
He will. He absolutely will. We'll be here for fucking ages.
You mentioned the car panning shot real good. There's a lot of like really nice visuals in this episode. I like Oh, and just like the designs of like when Milhouse is at the cracker factory as well.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's a fun little sequence.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite little jokes is just the salting room with the sled dogs just going through.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think when I watched that as a kid, I was annoyed that the episode wasn't about the cracker factory.
Yeah.
Like, that looked far more interesting, which is obviously the point of the... It was the joke, but...
We need an episode about Skinner's adventures in Hong Kong and Milhouse's full day at the cracker factory.
Well, that's probably what is one of the many reasons that makes these classic episodes so good, in that they make you want more every single time. Like, there's just everything is potentially interesting and is a potential good storyline, and they don't because... They don't.
Well, even like the hitchhiker, that could have been a whole.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing, but just the quick just little
jokes that suggest this whole other world that you kind of want to see, but you're like, no, it's not the point.
Yeah. And keeping it like even like Langdon Olga, like never actually seeing him, just Lisa mentioning him and describing him. I think that's so much more powerful because you conjure up this image of this little quiet kid and like,
absolutely.
Yeah. Also, Homer trying to do the prank call. Just fucking it up. You're a snowball.
I never clocked that he fucked it up. Like, again, until I watched it that time. Because he's saying it the opposite way around. But, like, it could still be... Like, it still fell in the parameters for me for a prank call.
Yeah.
Because, like, does it have to be... Does the insult have to be... Do you know what I mean? Help me out here. Like the
the person that answers have to necessarily be the victim?
Yeah. Like, because it's surely just about confusing the person.
Yeah.
And,
true.
And so it's...
Well, there's a whole other episode. What was Moe's reaction when Homer hung up?
Yeah.
That's it. I can't take these fucking prank calls anymore.
I mean, well, when did they start making him outwardly suicidal?
Yeah, like a season 11, 12, maybe like 5-6 years after this episode.
Okay, sure.
And yeah.
It was I'm not saying that it took a toll on him, the prank calls, but like The Simpsons choosing to be a little bit more overt.
Well, they do make him snap. There's that episode where he full on runs to like kill Bart. And Jimbo's in the living room. That's pretty fucked up. Also, Mo doesn't seem to know who Bart is. It's not like they interact that much, but still, the fact his license still says Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
Like, you'd think that'd trigger.
I mean, it also doesn't recognize Homer's voice when he calls him.
Most stupid.
Yeah.
Homer's map of all the little things. Yeah. Never been there before. Never shows up again.
Isn't it where the do it for her thing's supposed to be?
Yeah. Also, was it a joke that he just replaces the light bulbs when they burn out? Like, because if he's the safety guy, isn't that they're off surely indicating something else? Was there a joke in that?
I wasn't fully sure.
Okay,
I was hoping one of you guys could tell me, because I was actually watching it being like, I actually don't really understand what he's doing here.
I think it was just like he's not sure which ones are actually like offline or which ones are just burnt out.
Yeah, sure.
I think that's the joke.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
And you see him like kind of changing them. I don't know. It's
it's probably definitely that. I think the it wasn't clear to me as a kid.
So he's meant to, well, still not clear to us now. Yeah, sure. Like, so he's meant to, if I'm getting this right, when it burns out or when it like goes off, that's meant to indicate there's an issue with that power plant.
Yeah.
No, but if it burns out, then the globe is broken. But if it goes off, then there's an issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
But because he can't really tell the two, letting them burn out and keeping them in there burnt out, he can't tell.
Because he doesn't have an assistant.
It's another episode. Homer gets an assistant and they help him with that board.
Has that not happened yet?
No, surely. Actually, as I said that, I think there is an episode that came out like 5 or 10 years ago where, what's the comedian's name? She's in Party Down and Glee.
Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch voices his assistant, and then she ends up like double crossing him and getting like his job or something. There you go. Apologies. They did. Yeah, and there's like a whole 10-minute bit where they go through the bulbs. And like,
finally!
Yeah.
Oh, understanding the bulb 20 thing.
20 years.
A few quotes from this episode. One that always sticks in my head is, I have no idea who that is. Yeah. When Homer reacts to Magnum Order.
My one is Grammar Rodeo. When Nelson in the car. Like, because I almost had forgotten. Well, I had forgotten the context. Like, just the someone exclaiming Grammar Rodeo like that. Like, what is that?
Who
says that?
For sure.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorites, probably my favorite joke from this episode, is probably the hardest I laughed on the rewatch.
Yeah.
And it's just because it's so dumb, is the Al Gore doll.
Oh, yeah.
You are hearing me talk. Just that being the only thing he says is fantastic.
You want a bit of trivia?
So, I guess.
Sure.
I, you know, Martin says I spent last of my money on this Al Gore doll. Mm. I just thought Martin loves Al Gore. It's funny. Al Gore is from Tennessee, where they are.
Oh, right.
And he was, I think, even the like senator or congressman for Tennessee. So he's bought an Al Gore doll because they're like selling it in Tennessee because he's like more of a, I guess, celebrity. Got there, yep. Right? So, yeah, there you go. Pretty nice. Fun fact, eh?
Yeah, that's really great. This is why we do the podcast.
Anyway, we got to mention the whole, that's it, back to Winnipeg.
Yeah. Geographically speaking, I don't know if anyone can answer this off the top of their heads, but where in relation to those two points, like where they were driving to versus where Winnipeg is? Like, is it I assume it's like a insanely long distance.
They're on the way to, like, that family's on the way to like, is it Cape Canaveral?
Right.
So I have no idea.
Yeah, if you can Google that, that'd be great.
I mean, obviously, Winnipeg is a funny thing to say.
Yeah.
I just always kind of thought that, you know, they'd driven 95% of their trip and are now turning around.
That is very funny.
Cape Canaveral's in Florida. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See.
It's literally the other side of
me and Roland are having a race here to see. Okay, 30-hour drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like because Winnipeg's at the top and then.
Yeah,
I mean, I've just got that.
Yeah, yeah.
And where Ben Bart and his friends are going to Knoxville.
Mm.
So we could put, and I assume when that incident takes place, when they smack his head, they're like almost arrived at Knoxville.
Yes.
So let's do Knoxville to Cape Canaveral. This is going to be good. Cape Canaveral. 9 hours.
Okay.
So how many hours?
21 hours in.
Yeah.
Okay. So knowing the geography of any of that, I still entirely understood the joke. So that's great.
And
I should have pitched him as being in the book, the dad, even though he's not in the book.
Yeah.
Like that was should have been another one that I said.
He reminds me a bit of the assistant superintendent Leopold, who was like, "All right, you little freaks."
Oh yeah.
But
maybe it's his brother or something.
Yeah. They should do an episode about that.
Yeah, great.
I also like... cup holder! We got to stop and get a cup! Great.
I do also appreciate, just on Milhouse, the book thing, the travel book. They very cleverly don't reveal the year until... Yeah. Like, but it's kind of in the background, like, because you're not paying attention to it when he's reading it in the car. But then, like, when he's at the front of the wig shop, then he, like, front and center the year of the book.
Oh, wow. Okay. I just assumed that they'd done the classic cartoon thing of then suddenly the year appears.
No, that's great. It was there in the shot earlier.
Ah, which love is that.
Pretty great. And I forget the line as well, but when he's reading that AAA quote, I can't do it justice, but I laughed a lot at it.
According to the makers of this AAA guidebook, nobody. Yeah. Well, how about we rate this motherfucker?
Mm.
What do you reckon?
Sure.
I think it's pretty good. I remember always whenever any episode came on, I was excited. But sure. I remember always quite enjoying this one. Like it's kind of got it's like a just really good vibe to it, you know, like lots of good gags, but also just like real fun.
Yeah.
And holds up. I think I'm going to go 8.5.
It's out of 10, right?
No, 28.
Interesting.
What a weird
system.
Now, 8.5, 8.5. I mean, out of 10, out of 10, yeah.
I really like this episode. It's, same with when it was the one that was on. I was like, oh, yeah, cool, this episode.
Yeah.
It's very funny. I'm also a sucker for a Homer-Lisa story.
Yeah,
They usually end up being very sweet and lovely. And story-wise, I think it comes around very nice because, Skinner makes up the day. I think we touched on it before. Skinner makes up the day, which is why Lisa's spending that time with Homer, which is what leads to Bart doing the thing. But then Skinner plays back into Skinner being there and calling up and
absolutely.
So I think it's a very well made episode.
On that, like last episode we did was Homer versus Patty and Selma, and there's like a subplot where Bart does ballet. Like they're entertaining, but it does not interact with the plot at all. And I always find that a bit disappointing.
Yeah, when the B plot is just like entirely separate.
Like not even a reference. Like it could be like these are just two separate episodes that you've just put together. Whereas this is like fantastic
because it actually flows really well.
Yeah.
It's very funny. Like I said, sucker for a Homer Lisa. I'm going to go 8.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Good.
I'm giving it a 9.
I feel like an asshole.
It loses, but it loses a point because of the Marge storyline that I can't stomach. But otherwise, it's a classic Simpsons episode that always feels like it's four episodes in one.
Yeah.
Every scene is a classic kind of. Classic thing.
What I think I found saddest with the Marge bit is when Marge says, "Like, Homer," like she's so excited that he's called her.
Yeah.
He's like, "I can't remember the last time you called." You want to, like, just the fact it's like, Homer does nothing all day and he doesn't
still
just
doesn't speak talk to
him. Yeah. I feel like that those kinds of jokes, like Marge punching bag jokes, are like very symptomatic of 90s sitcoms as well. And I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, haha, housewife, loser. Like, do something else.
Yeah. So we all loved it. Let's hear what the people from alt.tv.simpsons had to say about it back in 1996. Now, to be fair, like sometimes we talk about a really great episode and then we read the reviews and all these internet nerds at the time hated it, right? Actually got pretty good reviews at the time, but here's a few. Dale G. Abasold says, "The writers did not seem to be having fun. Why no Stand By Me references? B minus." Like, what? Like, what are you talking? Like,
that's just because it's four kids.
Yeah, I guess. And maybe I haven't seen Stand By Me. I guess it, like, I know about it. They find the dead body and they go on a little adventure, right? But it's, I guess that takes place at spring break, maybe. So he's like, "Well, there's four boys. It's spring break. What the fuck aren't they parodying that movie that I like?"
Yeah, just imagining this guy watching is like, "Oh, it's a road movie with four like boys. It's like just hanging out for Stand By Me reference the whole time." And the credits roll and he's just so mad.
Yeah. He
boots up his little modem, making the noise and just makes him madder.
That's all he wanted. He just wanted Stand By Me and it just wasn't in it.
Well, he would have loved, I think like 6 years after this, there's actually an episode which sucks, where it's a flashback to Homer at high school and it's a Stand By Me parody and they go full on. Like, it's him, Mo, Lenny and Carl, which makes no sense because Mo's not their age and he didn't know Lenny and Carl before he started working with them. But anyway, apparently they're all friends at high school and he finds the dead body of Smithers' dad.
I do vaguely recall that is a bad episode.
Yeah.
Oh god. Oh, I hate those retconned connections.
Yep. And Mr. Burns, like, apparently Smithers' dad died in like a radiation thing saving the power plant, and Mr. Burns then adopts Smithers, who's a baby, and goes, "Sure."
God.
Which makes it more fucked up because, like, okay, so Smithers is Burns like a father figure to Smithers? Because that makes it fucked up that he's like in love with him.
Yeah.
And also, there's a great gag in that where Smithers is like, "So am I," because they find out what happened. "Oh, so my dad was a hero." And Burns is like, "Yes, I did always tell you that your father died by being killed by a bunch of Amazon women. I hope that didn't have an effect on you," implying he's gay because... Yeah. Mr. Burns told him a story about women killing his dad.
It's like, God, that's a slog, that backstory, isn't it?
It's like, fuck off. Anyway, so...
do you realise that we're kind of being the people in the message board for the earlier episodes?
Nah.
That, like, it's...
No, because this was a good episode. That was bad one.
Okay, but like, 20 years from now when there's some other medium, like not a podcast, some kind of, fancier thing and there'll be
people
will be quoted.
Yeah.
Going, oh, how can you have hated the Amazonian women joke?
Yeah.
That was solid. That was like when Smithers really came into his own kind of characters, fully fleshed out now.
Yeah, that was during the golden era, seasons 1 through to 35. Nowadays, though, season 78. And then in 20 years, that... Yeah. That Zomzung or whatever it's called will be analyzed by people on a Xinjiang. They'll be like, what? How about these clowns making fun of season 75?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he took my thing and ran with it more.
ran very far with that.
Anyway, so another review. Chris Courtois says, weak premise, weak stories, weak gags. Overall, nothing all too memorable. Like Bart's rental car, this one seemed to be on cruise control. Oh. C minus.
Like, it's the worst thing when people who review stuff online like that think they're clever.
Yeah. It's like you just said before, you've had like grammar audio stuck in your brain for 30 years or whatever. Yeah. And he's like,
it's got staying power.
Like, nothing memorable. Like, I mean, we probably did see this episode on Channel 10 every 3 weeks, but you know.
Yeah.
Don Del Grande says, the Lisa subplot tended to detract from the main story rather than add to it. B minus. What the fuck? What are you talking about?
So the episode should have been shorter, or
I think
the,
he's
the
saying it should have been more road trip.
Right.
Just entirely about the road trip.
Like, yeah. But they don't...
I get frustrated hearing these because it's like none of these people who are complaining about it, they don't seem to grasp story efficiency or like structure or stuff. Like, it's a really well-written episode.
This episode had it just been all road trip, he probably would be like, where are the rest of the family?
Yeah.
What are we going to do with you, Don Del Grande?
Well, that's what I was thinking, because these are like from 28 years ago, these things. This is a very morbid thought to have, but I think any of the people from these reviews that you're reading out could be dead.
Yeah. Can you start?
Good.
Can you do another podcast where you try and find the track original writers of those reviews and just see if they still believe that's their, like, that they believe what they wrote? Like, has their opinion changed since?
Yeah. I'll track those reviewers down.
It's like a threat.
Shake him up. Why didn't you like the episode? Get off me.
Just punch some random guy in the face. Like, you want Stand By Me, huh? He's like, what?
What do you got to plug, guys?
Watch my show on Binge, The Backside of Television, and The Last Year of Television.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay.
No, I got nothing.
Okay. You still on Twitter?
I am still on Twitter, yes. I usually say, it never gets me any followers. I'm just like, just follow me on Twitter because I got nothing to plug. And then no one follows me on Twitter. I'm like, all right.
I don't think anyone watches my show, so you're fine.
Be persistent. You never know. 108th time's a charm, right?
You never know. I think maybe the first one or two times I was on here.
Okay.
I got like maybe one or two followers, but that's it.
Well, if you're listening, if you're on Twitter or X is known now, throw Rollo a bone. Jack
to
him
be
a
fair,
follow.
If you're still on Twitter, like, it's a shit show over there.
Yeah, maybe so. You just need to go like right wing.
I thought about it.
I mean, you might be already. I'm not
all right. Like, I can't go any further right.
Yeah. Just go from just like occasional, because I don't even post that often anymore, but just like occasional jokes, just full right-wing grift. It's much more profitable.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. And I mean, throw in some thirst traps. I'm not saying you have to do thirst traps, but like, I feel like Twitter is taken up with right-wing stuff, thirst traps.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just those.
Because like a content bait thing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Little, like,
bit of that.
This weird trend going around. Like, what's between these two things on your keyboard? Like,
what?
He's so confused. He doesn't have a keyboard. He doesn't.
Well, I was like, yeah, because I see them, they pop up, and I'm like, I don't know, and I don't really care. But it's like, there was one that was like, what's between C and N on your keyboard? And it's VB. And so it was like, VB. It's so. I don't cut this.
Anyway, yeah, you can check out my stuff at murphymclachlan.com. And if you want to look at some of the racist cartoons I've enjoyed lately, go on Letterboxd. Cool. Well, thanks very much, Mitch, for being on the show.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Roland.
See ya.
And as we always say here on Murph's Tavern,
bye.
Rivers are coming.